you would turn with me tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8. And we're going to read by way of text verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And it is those words at the end of our text tonight I'd like us to particularly consider for a few moments. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. In chapter 7, as we have seen over recent weeks, David engaged in prayer. In this, the 8th chapter, we see David engaged in the battle. There were the Philistines, as we note in the first verse. And then there were the Moabites in verse 2. And then comes a particular king, Hadad-Rezer, there in verse 5. And then following came the Syrians, whom David conquered. And in view of the Syrians, we're told in the first half of our text tonight, then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. Garrisons were put there to keep the country in subjection. There had been victory, were to ensure that there was rule, and there was not an uprising, garrisons were put in the land. And then we come to these words tonight at the end of the verse. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He was preserved. Now as we note these words, we're particularly considering the battles in which he faced and the Lord preserved him. The Hebrew word has the meaning to get victory, to be safe, to be delivered, rescued. And so you see from the Hebrew word, the particular context we're particularly considering, the battles that David faced and would face, and the Lord was preserving him in them. Well, as a theme tonight, we have this, preserved in the battle. Preserved in the battle. And as we consider this, I'd like us to consider two things together, the battle and preservation. The battle and preservation. Verse 6, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. We're thinking of these battles that he had fought and then to the future. The battle and preservation. In a moment, we're going to sing those words in Psalm 140, verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And the psalmist there attributes unto God deliverance and preservation. The strength of my salvation. He's in the battle, but he recognizes there is deliverance. And the Lord has covered his head, has been a shield to the psalmist. Spurgeon wrote, in the day of the clash of arms, the glorious Lord has been his constant protector. The covering of the head. He was preserved, his life was preserved. And dear brethren, through the battles we face, and in all the battles we shall face, we have the Lord as our constant protector. We note that here in verse 6. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He went up against the Philistines and then the Moabites in verse 2. There were the Syrians, as we note in verse 5. Where the Lord was his constant protector. And dear brethren, he is our constant protector. We can reflect tonight on the battles we have come through already. Maybe the present battles we are engaged in. But then mindful that this world is a world of tribulation. And there are battles in front of us. We can take comfort that the Lord is our constant protector. He is our shield. We've already sung of that in Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And we see there the psalmist in view of the Lord, that the Lord is his rock, his fortress, that high place, that the Lord is his deliverer, his God, his strength, buckler, the horn of his salvation. He affirms his desire to continue to love the Lord. And dear brethren, in view that the Lord is our constant protector, that he is our shield, that he preserves us in the battle, do not we find ourselves tonight making this vow, reaffirming a promise, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, if you cross-reference Psalm 18 with the passage in Samuel, and then you go over to Hebrews 2, we chiefly see in Psalm 18, in light of Hebrews 2, the Lord Jesus Christ, whilst he was here upon earth, as he was engaged in the battle, he expresses, he affirms his love, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He faced the contradiction of men. He faced the assaults, the bruising attack of Satan. The Lord was his butler, and he reaffirms his love in the Lord. Dear brethren, let us follow his example. Let us reaffirm our love in view that God is our constant protector. Consider how you have been shielded in life and how you are shielded at this present time. And in view of the past, we can look to the future knowing that we will be shielded, or do not we find ourselves desiring to express our love in the Lord. He's our shield. His watchful eye is over us. Now you think of these words here. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And we think of those battles that he engaged in. We could think further of other paths he went down. As servant, the Lord was watching. Whithersoever he went, he was preserved. And whithersoever he went, the Lord was watching, and his watchful eye is over us. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He will watch. He will watch on. He will protect. He will preserve. And it's all seen in the 121st Psalm, verse 4 of that Psalm. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And you note the verses there, how it progresses. The Lord is watching. He watches over us. He constantly considers us. He considers the paths we are going down, and he preserves us. He's watching now. If you are in a battle, take comfort in this. The Lord is watching you at this very moment. He knows the future and all the battles you will face in the future. In his mercy, he keeps it from us. But he knows, we'll rest in this now, that as he is watching you now, so he will watch you in the future. And he will preserve thee. Verse 7 of Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Evil comes from different directions. As we shall note in a moment, the Lord shall preserve us from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Think of David. He would go out to the Philistines, and he would come back victorious. And dear brethren, we go out, as it were, into the battlefield, and we face battles in this life, yet the Lord brings us from the battlefield and takes us on. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. As we note in this 8th chapter, David faced many a battle with his enemies. And dear brethren, we are in a battle, and there are enemies around us. You notice the different enemies here in this chapter, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Syrians, and so on. And we have different enemies. Now, we could consider the enemy of sin. The Apostle Paul recognized that sin was an enemy because he was found warring against his sin in Romans 7. And are we not thankful in view of the fight we have with sin? And it's so near because it's indwelling sin that the Lord preserves us. He keeps us, though at times we are tempted, and though at times we make a voyage into sin. We will never be brought back into the bondage of sin. We will never be known as servants of sin. No, we are the servants of the Lord. And though we do fail, we do sin, the Lord is preserving us. We will never go back into that state of bondage. So we can think of the battle with sin. But I'd like us to consider two things, particularly tonight. First of all, a battle with ungodly men. And then secondly, a battle with Satan. Well, let's consider firstly, a battle with ungodly men. There are many who oppose David, and there are many who oppose you and me. There are the Philistines in this world. There are the Moabites, the Syrians. As they oppose Christ, so they will oppose you. We're followers of Christ, are we not? We bear the name of Christian. And we need to consider, as he was opposed, so we will be opposed. We make known Christ. For God's glory, we can be certain of this. We will be opposed. You live your life for the Lord. You will be opposed. John 15, verse 18, our Lord said this. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And when you meet someone and you know they just hate you, and the words they say, well, they hurt you, remember this, they have hated Christ first. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. There will be this hatred. We've seen it in the life of Saul earlier in the series on the life of David, how Saul hated David. And there will be those out there who make known their hatred towards us. Yes, many will conceal their hatred. Many will conceal their hatred under pleasantness. You remember Judas? It was not an enemy. There wasn't that outward hatred, as we see in Psalm 55, but there was that inner hatred. And though we meet men in this world who are without Christ, and there may be this outward pleasantness, and the pleasantness at times can be a challenge even to a Christian, but underneath there is this war in their heart, there is this hatred. If the world hates you, says Christ, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. There's opposition. We have our enemies. Now we love our enemies. Our Lord has taught us that. And as we consider our enemies, those who oppose us, we love them. We still love them. But oh, there is the arm of flesh. And that arm is mighty. We have those who are ungodly before us, who hate us. They plot and they scheme. You know, at times we may not consider that. But you remember Judas, outwardly pleasant, but he was plotting and scheming. They plot and they scheme. They meditate upon us in the night time. They speak about you behind closed doors. They may not speak to your face at times and convey their hatred towards you, but they speak behind closed doors when you're not listening. They whisper in corners. Dear brethren, there are many who would seek our harm. Turn with me to Psalm 56 and verse 1 and 2. Psalm 56, verse 1 and 2. David was well aware of his enemies. those that were causing him difficulty. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. They would swallow me up, says David. They would seek to devour. There are many that fight against me. And dear brethren, we need to remember that. There are many who are fighting against you. They do not come with swords, but their tongue is a sword, as we see in Psalm 57. And they have this opposition. Dear brethren, we are in a battle each and every day. We must be alert and we must have our armor on. Dear brethren, be on your guard. In the community, in the workplace, we meet people and they can be pleasant at times, but then suddenly just a word, just an action they do, and it brings you into difficulty and it brings hurt within. Be on your guard. But take comfort, you have a preserver. He will preserve you. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He went into battle. He went amongst his enemies. The Lord preserved. You go into battle day by day. You go amongst your enemies, but the Lord will preserve. He will preserve you unto the appointed time. It is for you to leave this world. You think of that. You will not die before the time God has appointed. You will not die before the time God has appointed. Why? Because he is your preserver. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He went forth to the Philistines, the battle. Yet the Lord preserved him. Then the Moabites, then the Syrians, and so on. There were battles, there were fights before him. The enemies surrounded him any day from one point of view. He could have been killed. But he would not die before the appointed time. Oh, dear brethren, the Lord is preserving you in the battle. In Psalm 27, verse 3, we read, though a host should camp against me, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. You see the psalmist, his trust there. He recognized there would be those that would encamp against him. There would be those that would rise up against him. But he was trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, his preserver. Dear brethren, trust in him. Sometimes one may be fearful. The Lord knows our frame. We're only but men, aren't we? And fear can grip the soul of the believer. But oh, that the Lord would calm the soul. And how the Lord can calm the soul whilst we are in the battle. The Holy Spirit comes and he comforts. He brings to bear a verse of scripture. Impresses upon you a certain truth. How the Spirit comforts. He's the comforter. And the Lord can calm the soul in the battle. We can be fearful. We see our enemies, we hear the words from their lips, and their words are like swords, and we're engaged in the fight, but the Lord can calm us in the battle. We see this in Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You note there, the psalmist recognized at times he would be fearful, but see how the Holy Spirit is working. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You see, fear, but the Holy Spirit cultivates that grace of faith. And he's found looking up to the Lord. He's found trusting in the Lord. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. There can be a time when we're a little fearful, but then the Holy Spirit comes and calms the soul. I will not fear. See the contrast? And when you feel that You've come from a place of fear to a place of calm. You give God the glory because you have it not in yourself, but God is able to calm the soul. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. We think there are flesh. We've already considered earlier tonight the arm of flesh. Yes, they can hurt me. One could kill me. But they cannot take Christ out of my heart. They cannot cause me to die before the appointed time. They cannot destroy my soul. I'm in the hands of Jesus. Remember those words of our Lord. John 10 verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Our enemies could take us from our loved ones. They could take away our freedom, but they cannot take us from our loving shepherd. They cannot take us from our Heavenly Father. He will preserve our souls. We are safe in the hands of the shepherd. We are safe in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Yes, they may hurt us and seek to harm us. One of you here one day may find yourself in isolation, away from your loved ones, but you'll never be away from Christ. You'll never be taken from the Heavenly Father. He will preserve your soul. We're in a battle. We have our enemies, but we have one to protect us. What do we read here? And the Lord preserved David, or gave him victory, delivered him, whithersoever he went. So firstly here then, we've considered a battle with ungodly men. But let's now consider secondly, a battle with Satan. And dear brethren, we so need to lay hold of this. Satan, though limited, is very active. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. I begin with myself, we can forget, but every day we ought to be vigilant. We ought to be sober, remembering he is a roaring lion and he walks about. We face a battle with Satan. Now Peter faced a sifting time recorded for us in Luke 22. Remember those words of our Lord, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know the two things there? We'll come to the second in a moment. The battle, but the preservation. Because the blessed intercessor makes intercession for us. But let's consider the battle there. Peter was facing a sifting time. He would be tempted to deny our Lord, and he yielded to temptation. Well, our Lord informs Peter of this sifting time. He informs Peter, but then also of the disciples that were around him as well. And we're all given notice. Our Lord, our blessed preserver, our constant protector, gives us notice that we will face a battle with Satan. Yes, certain ones may be chief targets, like ministers of the gospel, but we will all be sifted. We will all find ourselves in a battle. We see that plainly in Ephesians chapter 6. We need to have the armor on. Our Lord gave Peter notice, and so he gives us notice. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11, we read, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see the danger? Satan having an advantage of us. And then the apostle writes, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant. At times we may not be really grasping it, but we're not ignorant. We know we face a battle. We think of his devices, his purposes, his designs, his plots. And dear brethren, I say this lovingly. Remember this tonight. Satan has his purposes against you. His designs, his plots. We will face difficulty. We will face a battle with Satan. We have been informed of this. He so hates you. You think of that. The archenemy so hates you. And he seeks your harm. Do not underestimate his hatred. Sometimes one can be very conscious of it. At other times one may not be really considering. But there can be occasions when suddenly we stop and think, yes, I know what is happening. Dear brethren, we're informed by the Lord. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan desires to have you. And it's a strong word in the Greek. Satan desires, or he literally demands. Think of how Satan went in view of Job. Satan desires, he demands. He wants you sifted in the sieve. He wants you harmed. He wants all true believers to be sifted, and he will have a go at us all. The last few Mondays, I've been very aware of it. Every Monday at the moment, it seems to be Lord's Day morning, comes something else. He wants to sift you like wheat in a sieve. Not that the good remains, but nothing good remains. If it were possible, he would have you back as an unbeliever. He knows he can't have that, but he so desires you to be back under his tyranny. Not because he loves you. He hates you. He wants you back. You fled his kingdom. You've been brought into the glorious kingdom of Christ. He wants you back. He would work to so have you back. He can't have you back. But he wants you back. Though he knows he cannot have you back, he wants difficulties for you. He does not like the grace within you. He would have it all gone. He would sift you in the sieve, up and down, violently. At times there will be such a barrage of arrows to distract you from prayer. There will be such a barrage of arrows to distract you from reading the Word of God. There will be such a barrage of arrows to distract you from worshipping the Lord, sieved up and down, all around. Back in the summer, I was in Cardiff Bay and I came around the corner to see one of my daughters on this flying chair going round and round and up and down. If I'd known, I would have never allowed her to go on it. But I came around the corner, there she was, right up, round and round. And then it went down and up, all shaken up. And that's how it can be in the sifting time. All shaken up. And you think of a vessel in a storm. It's hard to walk in a straight line. You have to hang on to the rail or the rope. You have to so hang on in the sifting time. Dear brethren, hang on to your constant protector. A sifting time. Temptations can come one after another. We can be so assaulted. Think of a battlefield. Sometimes it's quiet. But then suddenly, as it were, the guns open fire and it's constant for hours. And there are times in our lives when it's quiet. And Satan's backed off for a while. But then suddenly it all starts up and it goes on and on. And such a barrage. John Brown of Haddington speaks of Satan harassing the believer in a time of sifting. He harasses. He won't give up. On it goes, and it can be days or even months. Like on a battlefield, things come from every direction. And so Satan can fire darts from different directions, but they all come from him. One can be weary on the battlefield, and Satan keeps firing darts, those fiery darts. There's shaking time. Satan wants you to stumble. He wants you to deny the Lord this week. He wants you to be a weak, flickering light. He desires you to be weak in faith, and so at times there will be those darts. Are you really a Christian? He tempts you. He wants you to be worldly, so you're not much of an influence in this world. He will tempt. He will harass you to sin. He will whisper things in your ear. At times it comes from our hearts. It may come from the world. At times it comes from Satan. He will whisper things in your ear. Do you really believe the promises? Are they really for you? Are you really going to heaven? Sometimes he will sift you. After family worship, after public worship. Sometimes he will sift you when you're so weary and you're finding life hard. You remember when he came to our Lord? It was when our Lord was hungry. Be on your guard. He will use certain bait for you. Certain bait for you. It may be different for another Christian, but he will use certain bait for you. For some it will be the bait of pride. For some it will be the bait of worldliness and covetousness. For some the bait of bitterness. For some the bait of popularity in this world. For some the bait of money. For some the bait of some television program. Be vigilant. Consider Peter. He was found exercising great faith at times in his life. Remember that confession, "Thou art the Christ." Yet he was not immune to being sifted by Satan. And your faith may be so strong, and you may be so growing in faith, and the Lord is causing you to ripen as the years go by. But oh, you could face a sifting time. Resist the devil. Pray against his work. Be on your guard. Use the armor. Use scripture to respond to Satan. And take comfort in your preserver. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. What did the Lord say to Peter? But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted or restored, strengthen thy brethren. What words of encouragement. Words of warning, but words of encouragement. And we're warned, aren't we? We can expect to face sifting times, but there's words of encouragement. When we are in the sieve, shaken so much, he's making intercession. Every hour, every week you are in the sieve. Every hour you are in the battle. Your blessed preserver is making intercession. But I have prayed for thee. You imagine what it would have been like for Peter if he was informed that he was going to be sieved in the sieve, but the Lord never went on to say, but I have prayed for thee. But what words of encouragement. But I have prayed for thee. There will be a restoring. Your faith will not fail. Satan may whisper again and again, how can you be a Christian? But Christ says your faith will not fail. Why? Because his spirit the Holy Ghost will come and cultivate the grace of faith. He will cause the believer to exercise faith. And that precious gift of faith will never be taken out of your soul. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And even in the heat of the battle, when Satan is so sieving you, and like Asaph, you're questioning, God is good to Israel, but as for me, am I really a Christian? Your faith will not fail. There may be a time when there's not much exercise of faith, but there will come the exercise again. What words of encouragement, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Our Lord was praying for Peter already. Our Lord was praying for Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord was praying for Peter when Peter was denying him. You thought of that? Peter was denying. Our Lord was praying for him. He prayed for Peter whilst on the cross. He prayed for Peter after his resurrection. Oh, dear brethren, he prayed for us when he was in agony. And he continues to make intercession. What a comfort that is. Every moment of our lives, our blessed high priest makes intercession. How many moments do we really think of Christ in the day? Or take comfort tonight. Despite we spend so much of our time not thinking of Christ, he every moment of our lives, he every moment of eternity will be thinking of us. He intercedes. He pleads for your cause. He pleads for us now in the battle. And then when all battles are past, he will go on making intercession. And what for? Your increasing eternal happiness. He's pleading your cause. When you're in the battle, he's entreating. He's interceding. If you're in the battle and you're tempted and you yield to temptation and you find yourself backsliding, he's the faithful, compassionate shepherd who carries on making intercession. He preserves. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And you go into battles. And you face that battle with Satan. And you find yourself in a path of difficulty. The Lord is preserving you. He will preserve you in the battle. In 1 Peter 1 verse 5, we read, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're kept by the power of God. And what did Nebuchadnezzar recognize? None can stay his hand. You're kept by the power of God, and you will be kept. Psalm 48, verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide unto death. He will drive like the shepherd. He will preserve, he will lead. The shepherd will be at work in the last valley. He will be preserving your soul. You face a battle in the last valley. Your constant protector will be going before you. He will lead the way. He will firmly have hold of your soul. For some believers in the last valley, Satan can be very active. Not always the case. But for some believers, Satan can be very active in the last valley. Your preserver will be there. He will protect you. Dear brethren, we can look death in the face, knowing he will have hold of our souls. He will preserve us through that difficult valley and then bring us to heaven. He will not forsake us in that final hour. He is our constant protector. Adoniram Judson wrote this. He has not led me so tenderly thus far to forsake me at the very gate of heaven. He'll bring you through. He'll preserve you at the very gate of heaven. Those few moments before you get into heaven, he'll be preserving you. He won't let you go. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We can look to the future, future battles. But it's not all battles, is it? There are the green pastures. There are the times of rest. Well, in the battle and in the green pastures, he will preserve. And even forevermore, we're assured then, we'll be preserved to eternity. And then we shall be preserved in eternity. After death, the Lord will keep our souls. We will see him with the eyes of our soul, and he will be preserving our soul. We will be preserved in heaven till the great day. And then consider further, he will have care over the body down to the very minutest particle. I said in the crematorium yesterday that for the believer's body, down to the very last minute particle, will be preserved. And I saw the blankness on many a face there. But oh, what a comfort when our bodies, dear brethren, are laid in the grave. Our bodies will be sleeping in Jesus. And when our bodies decay, the Lord will be watching on. He will keep an eye over the final, minutest particle. How do we know that? Because there will be the glorious resurrection. And we shall be like him. And why will we be like him? Because he is the preserver of our soul. And then the preserver of our bodies. Even down to the minutest particles. We will be preserved in the intermediate state. And we will be preserved on the great day. And after the sentences are pronounced and executed, we will with Christ enter that heavenly world when heaven and earth will be one. And we will be preserved forever. Dear brethren, he's kept you so far. What a comfort tonight. He's going to keep you for eternity. And in eternity, he will never lose you. In eternity, you will never find yourselves out of the hands of your constant friend. The Lord preserved David wheresoever he went. And the Lord's preserving us. We have battles here. One day the battle will be over. And then he'll keep us forever near his side. But in the battle here, in a spiritual way, he is near our side. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Amen. Let's turn to our second psalm, Psalm 140. We're going to sing verses 4 through to verse 7. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have made purpose to overthrow. And notice verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, for thou hast covered my head in the day of battle, covered my head. Psalm 140, we're going to sing from verse 4 to verse 7.